Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
I can promise you.
34 after the hour now, it's the Good Day program with Doug, Jennifer, and Victoria. DJ V on the air with another gentleman that has been a part of my broadcasting past, and I'm sorry that it's the past because I would like him in it in the present. He's a very good broadcaster and a guy who's actually a very good human. We have stories to tell, and so I'll introduce you to Larry Marino, who is the morning news anchor at KRLA in Los Angeles. We seem to have a, we've got a train of people. Yesterday we had
Brian Whitman on.
Brian Whitman on. Larry has a lot more hair than Brian. I'll give you that much. Larry and I became friends when we worked together in Florida in a facility in Tampa, which was at least 25. We had this Good Day thing. Larry and I worked for a guy named Sonny Block, who was as bad a person as you could possibly find in the universe. And we both knew it. And I needed to get away from there. And Larry didn't escape quite as quickly as I did. But when we were there, we had some good times and had some fun. Larry just reminded me something. Go ahead.
Good to talk with you again. It's been like 25 years.
It's lovely to talk to you. I'm going to come over and we'll go to lunch.
Jennifer and you and I will go to lunch. We definitely need to do that. But yeah, I remember you as being always inquisitive, never afraid to ask something if you wanted to do something. And a gentleman pulled up in a big RV bus and you said, can I drive that?
The studio.
Yeah. And I just thought, oh, great. And he says, yeah, sure. And it happened to be Ed McMahon, and he was doing the Star Search TV show at the time. And I caught it all on video. Mm-hmm. And I've got to find that tape and get it to you because it would be fun to share with your listeners.
Well, you know, that's where Ed, and it's interesting, Ed and I became friends then. That's where we became, that's where we first sort of got to know one another.
Well, you drive somebody's RV.
Well, he came to visit.
You're bonded for life, I think.
There are pictures around of Ed on my farm in that same RV. He came to visit the farm a year or so later, and it was really pretty, but we really got established in that experience there. I don't know whether it was because my driving was so good. I'm not sure, Larry, about that. But tell us about your broadcasting career. You're in the two of you are in that studio that has great memories for me.
Yes, and your dog that you had brought to the station.
Charlotte was a fixture up there.
Yeah, you would bring Charlotte to the station. I remember this big water bowl that you you brought for Charlotte. And Charlotte, you know, like dogs, they lap their water, and as they go down the hall, it continues to drip out their mouth. And down the carpet at our station were these water spots. They were never, you know, they didn't stick around, but it was just nice to see that holiness.
A little drool that just belong to a dog instead of the radio host, right?
The normal drool that you find in the hall.
Right.
But we had some good times together.
Yeah, we did. We had some fabulous times together. We experienced, you're a real solid rock. I mean, guy that keeps a job for 20 plus years at a station like that, you have a lot going for you, and my hat is off to you. One of the things, because the studio that you're in is where I used to do this program when I was associated with a company that owns that radio station. And I managed to say something on the air that annoyed the owners. And so that's why I'm no longer sitting there or on those stations. I'm trying to come up with superlatives that are believable. That was one of the best technical facilities that I have ever been in. However it was that they built that studio. I think, Richie, you can remember back in that, because this has been a good, heavens, well, how long has Bennett been there? 10 years? Because that was the celebration of my leaving had to do with Bennett coming.
I was going to say that, has been a while.
Maybe more than that. Yeah, Larry.
It is a beautiful technical facility, and you and I have probably worked at places over the years. I mean, I've been at places where they use Scotch tape to hold the thing together.
To hold everything together.
I had one engineer, the equipment was so bad, he used to drill out the what they call pots, the potentiometers, and spray in WD-40 so they wouldn't go boom, as opposed to actually replacing them.
Stick.
And that's, Richie, that's where you learn how to do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I taught him how to do that.
They would bring in commercials written on those blue paper towels from the gas station to pay for a trade,
right?
You know, for the guy's car.
Wow. Yeah,
big time radio. Yeah. So the reason that Larry and Jennifer are together, Jennifer has three radio gigs at the moment, beside running her father's business, or she and her father run it together. Jen is on with me, and then right as soon as she gets off the air with me, she goes on to KRLA in Los Angeles, where Larry and she are at the moment, and then she does her other program for the station out in wherever
KTIE,
it is.
AM 590.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. So she's a busy lady, and because she's good, that's why the attraction. But it's but she belongs here, Larry. She belongs to me.
Dougie's taking claim.
We can't have her.
One thing you have to know, Dougie, about Larry is that he is not only a great newsman here at KRLA in Los Angeles, but he also does his own show. He stays very involved with local politics in California and Southern California. So when we have some of these issues, you know how California sort of sets the stage for the rest of the country. When we have these big issues, we have to make sure we bring Larry in to kind of hash them out for us.
Yeah. Okay. So one question for you. Of all of the experience that you've had, and you've been around a good, your career must be at least 35 years, isn't it? How long
at least
have you been?
Something
and
like
he's
that,
only 37, and so only 30, he started.
Yeah, but you're younger than I. You're younger than I am.
Do you want to know the story?
Yeah.
There are two of them. One is the day I got a call, and this was working at the same place you and I were working. I got a call at home saying that I could get an interview with Hillary Clinton the very next day, only I hadn't given them my home number. Which was kind of odd.
Ooh.
And I did the that interview, and it was supposed to be on mammography. 5 minutes, Hillary Clinton, she was first lady at the time. This was right at the time that there had been this dust-up between Newt Gingrich's mom calling Hillary the B word. Remember that? This is way back. So I did the 4 minutes and 30 seconds interview that you're supposed to do. And then I did that one more thing question.
Right.
You know, what happened? And give us the latest on this. And she said, oh, everything's fine. We had them over, the Gingriches over to the house, the White House, and everything's fine. So I got that little snippet to AP. And my name doesn't appear anywhere. The headline reads, Hillary buries hatchet. so that's the one story. The other one was the round-the-world flight of the Voyager aircraft. I happened to be working in Mojave, California. It's not the end of the world, but you can see it.
But it's close.
It's out there in the middle of nowhere.
Yep,
but that happened to be where Dick Rutan and the people who do the, you know.
They're still doing it.
They're still doing that stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, the SpaceX kind of, not SpaceX, but one of the ones out there has evolved from it. But they did their 11-day journey, and no one was following that when it first started. But myself and a couple other people, I used to actually give the story for free to major stations. And then suddenly I was doing the report for AP, UPI, ABC, CBS. And I did this thing. And when the plane finally made it back 11 days later, and we were at the dry lake bed in Mojave, there were 15, 20 news vans, satellite trucks. This became a big story. Nobody thought that two people could fly. And I started the coverage on it.
Yeah. Huh. You know, it's wonderful to think about the things that we did first, the things that nobody pays any attention to, but we know it, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
We know what we start. I mean, I started the football helmet thing how many years ago? That was before anybody paid any attention to it.
Brain injuries, right.
Yeah. And the things that we kind of have exposure to, and we tell stories about them, and they become a part of the lore, and I think we can take pleasure in that, pride in that, and we ought to. We ought to, you know, I think sometimes guys like you and me deserve a little more respect than we get. But, you know, that's
okay.
When I'm doing it for respect.
You know, the interesting thing was when I went to the Smithsonian in Washington, and there it was, the Voyager airplane. You can see that hanging there, complete with its winglets worn off because the wings were so heavy with the fuel that the wings actually dragged on takeoff.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I'd like to see that myself. That would be a great experience to have. But we're very fortunate. I think I was still there when I went to my first launch over at Cape Kennedy. I went to four launches while we were on the air in the morning, and I thought one of them was when I was still working with you.
Yeah. Do you remember that the side the glass was on, looking over the bird reserve in Feather Sound in Clearwater?
Yeah.
You could actually, if you were there at the right time, you could actually see all the way across from Clearwater to the other side of the state.
Yep, you
within
could.
About 10 seconds of takeoff, you'd see this.
You could see the state. Yeah,
it looked like a candle flame going up.
Yeah. Yeah, fabulous. Great experiences. Larry, what a pleasure to have this chat. But we really will. Seriously, when I'm
we
back.
We have to have lunch.
I'll be back in a couple of weeks, and Jennifer and you and I will go out to lunch. And Jennifer will pay. She'll take us to the big boy.
That's right.
It'll be big time.
That's right.
Larry Marino, ladies and gentlemen, with Jennifer in the studio over on the other side of Los Angeles at 43 after the hour.
Hi, this is Victoria Keelan from On Air with Doug, Jen, and Victoria. It's time for you to sound off. As one of our valued listeners, your opinions matter. Just log on to djvshow.com and click on the survey button on the homepage. Tell us about yourself, tell us why you listen, and tell us what you think. And as a thank you for completing our survey, we'll enter you in a random drawing where 5 lucky listeners will win $300 cash. So go to djvshow.com right now and click on the survey link. That's djvshow.com.
Think green. Harrison with you. Firefly populations have dropped 70% in 3 years, drawing more than 100 scientists to Thailand to a symposium to study the demise of these glowworms or lightning bugs. No single factor is blamed, but researchers in America and Europe cite urban sprawl and industrial pollution, which destroys insect habitats. The spread of artificial light from what they're calling McMansion subdivisions could also be a culprit, disrupting the intricate mating behavior that relies on a male winning over a female with its flashing backside, signaling everything from love to danger. The endangered firefly's adult lifespan is just 1 to 3 weeks, and scientists are now underscoring that fireflies are a canary in a coal mine in terms of understanding the declining health of our ecosystem.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Today on App Check, with Falling Stars, create musical compositions using Falling Stars. Users like the inventiveness, but they must have too much time on their hands. Falling Stars.
Picky, picky, picky.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Welcome to American Biker Minute.
Especially you Yankees on sickles.
Carolina Backroads.
We don't lock that sickle trash down here.
Today on American Biker Minute.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute.
Going through a backroads town in North Carolina.
Smokey and the Biker.
Good old Southern cop, the one blue light like you see in Smokey and the Bandit. We don't cotton the Yankees here. Well, we're just going through, sir. That's the way I like it, he says. Especially you Yankees on sickles. We don't lock that sickle trash down here. I'm going to let you go because I noticed you stopped in our local restaurant. If you wouldn't, he says, I'd have to cite you. Shut my mouth up, road on.
Passport to the open road on two wheels.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So, in a marriage, who's happier, the man or the woman? Or put it another way, who's more at risk for depression, the husband or the wife? Here's the social science of it. In a marriage, there are ups and there are downs, and a totally perfect marriage, well, it's just only seen in a Hollywood movie. But who's more happier while married, men or women? Now, married males tend to be happier than unmarried males, but get this. Married females reported higher rates of sadness while married than unmarried females. What's the cheap psych trick? One should strive for happiness, and it's possible to achieve. But in everyone's married life, a little sadness will fall. But if sadness becomes so debilitating that it's impossible to even think about a happy marriage again, then you might want to check out some professional assistance. Check out my book while you're at it, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Lovers, at drbuff.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
The story of Lee Francis, civics teacher from Massey Hill Classical High School in Fayetteville, North Carolina, giving a lesson about the Bill of Rights, talking about Texas versus Johnson, the Supreme Court case upholding the right to burn the American flag. So he was trying to make a point about free speech, didn't quite go the way he wanted it to. To illustrate the decision, he pulled out a full-size flag, laid it on the floor. He asked the class, anybody got a lighter?
Oh, geez.
Nobody responded. So then he stepped on the flag. Mm. And then two students in the classroom stormed out. The other stayed for the rest of the lesson. demonstration caused such an uproar among parents and administrators that the school district launched an investigation into his conduct and placed him on paid leave. He's standing by his actions. He said, "Ironically, I feel like I was being a good American citizen by telling the students about the rights granted to them by the Supreme Court. It saddens me that people have taken such a negative turn." You look at all of the people that do things to the American flag, all these controversies with Kaepernick and the others, that a flag.
And if you don't know Doug's code, that's Colin Kaepernick, but
yeah,
you know.
Right. Yeah.
Kaepernick.
I'm looking at a picture of this guy standing over the flag. I don't know. 47 after the hour, the book Napoleon Hill, well, there are a number of books Napoleon Hill responsible for, about becoming prosperous, how to succeed, the things that he learned from Andrew Carnegie and put into writing.
Is he related to dynamite?
Napoleon Dynamite?
Sorry, what are you talking about, Napoleon?
I have no idea.
So everything's a part here. I'm doing two things that you would all appreciate. I'm broadcasting.
He's very stream of consciousness today.
This is the last time I will be in this facility. It's kind of a weird thing. I set up this studio in my house in Santa Monica, and today I'm moving out of this house. Plus, you'll all be happy to know that I've taken everything that was left in the refrigerator and put it into a pot, and that's what I'm having for breakfast. Anything that was left in that refrigerator is now in a pot.
So what do we have going
Sounds
on
yummy.
In there? Like, just give us a few what-ifs.
Yeah, what's in the pot?
You are the weirdest stew maker. You'll take salmon
rice,
from 12 weeks ago.
There's squash. There's fish. Let's see, what else is in there?
Squash and fish in the same...
Fish and rice.
Sounds like a composting.
Do you have any? Yeah, exactly. Do you have any? Do you have any broth or anything to go with that?
No, there's a little water in it. That's all.
It's good. Oh my gosh!
So tell me the story of H&M.
Don't you have to get on a plane later? Are you going to
survive? I'll be fine. I'll be on the plane later on. Yes, thank you. H&M pulling all of its plus size clothing from stores in New York. Victoria, what's the story with that? Why are they?
I think this is going to start a very negative trend around the country with H&M stores. They claim they need more room in the stores for home goods and for something else. I think they're starting beauty products.
They take out the biggest clothes.
To me, I don't like, and we talk about this a lot on the show, I don't like using people as props. Mm. You know, whenever a politician has a bunch of veterans around and using them as props, they used Ashley Graham, who is the gorgeous and stunning plus-size model. Used her in a campaign only a month ago, advertising all their plus-size line that she was endorsing, and now they're pulling all of it out of the stores. It's a horrible disservice to most American women. Like, let's be honest, the average American size is 18.
Yep.
I mean, they're doing a huge disservice, and I think there's going to be a big backlash.
Yeah. Leslie Jones, I couldn't find anybody to make a dress for her for the red carpet. I found that very interesting. She's the lady from Ghostbusters. Has been bullied a little bit because of her size. 10 minutes for the hour.